Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and an episode recorded at the National Museum of World War II Aviation in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where July 4th will be a very special day. Well, Independence Day is a special day wherever you are, but the museum is going to be marking the occasion with Outside Photo Day, positioning some of its most popular planes outdoors in the Rocky Mountain sunshine so you can pose for pictures. At hometownheroesradio.com or on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, you'll find a photo of a veteran I had the privilege of meeting at the museum, 98-year-old Betty Denges, an Army nurse who, believe it or not, is not the oldest World War II veteran in her family. Her older sister joined the Navy during the war and served in the waves. As usual, we're going to start out with the early years before World War II.
My dad was going to law school with Harry Truman, and he was working at Montgomery Ward, and they sent him to Denver to open that new building on South Broadway and get it going with all the necessary things. And so we moved to Denver, and we lived in Denver then for a couple of years. And actually, my younger sister was born there. My older sister and I were put in a junior league preventorium. This was for children who were undernourished and susceptible to tuberculosis, because tuberculosis was a big thing out here.
Yeah.
Lots of people came here for tuberculosis. But anyway, we think the school nurse put us in there because we don't remember who put us in that place, and we lived there, I think, about 6 months. And my sister fell off the slide and broke her arm. So then my dad was back in Kansas City, so he came back out and took us back to Missouri.
That kind of sounds like a traumatic experience for a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then we lived in Independence and with my grandmother, and my dad, as I said, was going to school, so he graduated and began a law practice, and then he and my mother got divorced at that point in time. I think I must have been 8. She went to business school, so then eventually she went back to Ohio and lived there with her mother, and she took my little sister with her. So I remember, you know, living around with aunts and uncles, but we eventually began to stay with my dad in the wintertime and my mother in the summertime, and that was fun. We rode buses back, but we did get to know the families on each side quite well because of all that.
Did you have an idea in your mind of, hey, when I grow up, these are some things that I'm going to do? Or
yes, I always wanted to be a nurse.
Why was that?
Well, I'm not sure. My father's older sister was a nurse in nurse's training, and she contracted spinal meningitis, I think it was, and died. I didn't really ever know her very much, but I knew that who she was and that she was a nurse. I don't know why, but I just wanted to be a nurse. I knew that I didn't have to figure anything out, because I just knew I wanted to be a nurse. And so when I graduated from high school in Kansas City, I went back to Ohio, and I went to this hospital school, and they said, you're too young, can't enroll you, you're only 16. So they said, come back next year. So I went to the junior college in Kansas City for a semester. Oh, did things like debate and typing and shorthand and those things. I went back to the school the next summer, and even though I was 17 at that point, because my birthday was in November, they did enroll me, and I got to start. So I really enjoyed every bit of my nursing career, my schooling. This school was excellent in what they taught us. I thought we had such a good, sound basis in medicine and everything. So I thought I was really well-grounded in my profession.
What was the name of the school?
Altman Hospital School of Nursing in Canton, Ohio. They have now melded with the junior college.
So did you finish that up before or after the attack on Pearl Harbor?
I had strep throat and I was in the hospital when Pearl Harbor happened. There was a little radio and I heard about that. And so that was one thing. But the Red Cross came and talked to our class and said, joined us in the Red Cross, and that was a commitment to join the military when we graduated. So we all knew about Pearl Harbor at that point, of course. And then we graduated. Almost all of my classmates went into the service, different Air Force and Navy and all. There were only a couple of us that didn't go in, and I had to work at the hospital while I waited to be 21 and take my state board exam and pass it, because it's what required to enlist in the Army. So when I did that, I waited a little bit because I thought, do I really want to go? Or they needed nurses back home, too.
Sure.
Yeah, because they were short there at the hospital. So that was a good time for me because I went to the nursing office in the morning, and they would send me wherever they needed somebody. It gave me great opportunity to learn lots of things and to be confident in my ability to what I could do. So I've always been glad I had that opportunity. But then I decided that, yes, I should enlist. So I did. Was sent to Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indianapolis for basic training. Wherever we went, they would have us work in the wards with the patients. And so we did some there as during basic training of working on the wards with the patients. And so I always thought that was a good opportunity, too, to know where things were and to know the patients and things like that. But we did have kind of a typical basic training with marching and climbing the ropes and those things.
Mm-hmm.
And a test. I still have that test. You know, what were the ranks of, you know, all the military stuff was on there.
Ah. And when you say the patients in the ward, mm-hmm. were those guys who had come home from the war?
I think so.
And how did you feel about the idea of maybe going overseas?
I didn't even think of it. I guess I knew that was a possibility, but I just didn't even think about it. Well, then they assigned us out different places. There were some of my classmates were in that group, and they went to different places. But I went to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. The Greenbrier Hotel was Ashford General Hospital,
mm-hmm.
2,000-bed neurovascular surgical center. That's where we worked. We lived in the cottages. Well, this was a hotel. But we worked 12-hour night shift, two of us, over the whole hospital.
Wow.
In the daytime, we did split shifts, 7 to noon and 3 to 7. We were pretty, well, the ward men helped us a lot. They were kind of like nurse aides or CNAM, so they helped us a lot. We gave the medicine and that kind of thing.
Can you give us the profile of those patients or the kind of things they were dealing with?
They were dealing with, we had a paraplegic patient, had orthopedic broken bones and so forth. And I did have one that I have his picture. We were singing Christmas carols around his bed. He died the next day of a fat embolus.
Mm.
And that was a tragic thing for him to die like that.
Had it been the war that left him in that
yes.
condition?
Uh-huh, because all of our patients were from the Battle of the Bulge, from that area, frozen feet.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather was a doctor in the Bulge, and he said he treated more frozen feet than anything else.
Yeah.
So these are guys who've been shipped home. You're mm-hmm. taking care of them in West Virginia.
Right.
But you're getting an up-close and personal experience with the price of freedom.
Yes.
What was that like for you emotionally to see the condition these guys were in?
Well, I think it was nursing. You know, that's what we were there to do, and that's what it was. Because those were the kind of patients you took care of. I remember at night that the guys would come up. I would be at the desk doing paperwork. They would come up and sit and talk to me about their experiences. I really liked that they did that because I think it was good for them to get that off their chest, as it were. But, you know, in a safe environment, that they could talk about things.
Was it hard for you to hear some of the things they had to say?
No, because I was already a nurse
yeah.
who listened.
So you're trying to help heal their bodies, but you're also bringing some therapy to their souls and their
right.
hearts.
Right, because, you know, that was the thing you heard from them was, you know, the difficulty and the problems. And so I did hear a lot, and I don't remember much of that. But and one thing, I really tried to remember everybody's name because I thought that was important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had wards of 100 men, and you know, that were in that. And as I said, they were my age, you know, they were like, I was 21, and they were, you know, eight, well, they were younger, you know, a lot of them, but they were the same age I was, so, you know, we had that camaraderie, too, of being the same age, and of listening to that and hearing what was going on.
Was there something that, I know this is a generalized question, and each patient would have been different, but... was there something that you found that they really needed, that you could do that would really be helpful for them?
I think the listening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would say the listening, because I became a psychiatric nurse later in my career, but I really knew about those things and that they needed to be listened to and not told what to do or, you know, those kinds of things that people, giving advice is not good.
I know, you're 21 years old. You're wide-eyed and young. Did you have a sense for the significance of what you were doing and why it mattered?
I guess I did, but I think we just thought we were doing just what we needed to do. It was nursing. We were taking care of people who were ill in some way and were damaged. So that's, you just approached it that way, that you were the nurse that was helping them. And I guess that's what I got a lot of in my training, was that was the important part of nursing.
And how long did you stay there in West Virginia?
Let's see, I went in the fall, and in the spring, must have been February, we got orders to go overseas. We had a month off to go visit our families before we went overseas. Visited my mother in Ohio and my dad in Kansas. Then we reported to Fort Dix to be ready to go overseas, and we boarded the Ile-de-France in New York Harbor. There were 500 nurses in the group that were going over to replace the nurses who had been there. So it was 8 days across the Atlantic. We zigzagged because there was a submarine, apparently. We didn't know about that, but apparently a submarine was following us. Yeah, but it was too big a ship to attack, so we didn't have any problems with that. Had one problem with seasickness the first morning out, but then we learned if we nibbled on hard biscuits or something that we wouldn't get seasick, so I never had any problems after that.
Had you ever been on a ship before that?
No. So anyway, we landed in Gourock, Scotland to hear them say, the war is over. Now what are you going to do with us?
Well, Betty would find out there was still a lot of work to do and some adventures, too. How did she get a ride in a B-17? And how did she happen to meet the Pope? We'll hear the rest of this 98-year-old World War II nurse's story when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.